Kelly, you have had a very major event happen in your life. You recently lost your son, Mitchell. Tell us about him and what happened.
Mitchell, from birth, was just absolutely an extraordinary child. He had grown into an amazing man. He was always kind of like my counterpart in life. He was always by my side, sort of. We teased during his funeral that he was a mama's boy. But not in a bad way. He just very much loved his mother. So Mitchell, in his mid-20s, started showing signs of mental illness, and it progressed to a point that, we were trying to get him help, and he was just refusing. I think oftentimes people, when they have mental illness, don't realize that they are, sick. And so he was to a place in life where he was actually homeless. He was living off of Sycamore View. So every few days I would go looking for him at all the different areas down there until I found him to make sure that he had food and clothes. And just my mama heart couldn't take that he was out on the streets, but I also could not have him living in my house at that point, which was absolutely heartbreaking.
So this was a very tough situation.
Absolutely.
What happened where he lost his life?
He was walking from Jackson Avenue back to Sycamore View on Raleigh-LaGrange, and he was walking in the middle lane, so the turn signal, or the turn lane, and a trash truck turned off of Covington Pike, and it hit him. They said that he was killed instantly.
How did you find out about that?
My stepmom actually came to my house that morning. My cell phone had died in the middle of the night and I didn't have it on the charger. So everyone had been trying to reach me. And I knew the moment that I saw her knocking on the door that something was wrong. And she said, that phone call that we have been hoping we never got, that we were, dreading the thought of, that phone call came in this morning. And I just fell to pieces. I don't know that my life will ever be the same again. How do I live the whole rest of my life without my son in it? It's just something that I don't think that ever really gets better. You just learn to live with it.
In trying to process all of this, you said that God gave you an idea, and that turned into a very interesting thing. Tell us what the idea was that God gave you.
Okay, so someone had just happened to give me like a whole lot of cereal. And the more I thought about it, I thought, that's one thing that I know my son used to love when he came home was to have cereal, because that's just not something that you normally get when you're living out of the streets. It's a difficult thing to have a bowl and a spoon and milk. And so I thought, well, this is a great opportunity to go down and take some food to them, have a bowl of cereal with them, since that's something that they don't normally get. So my intent was to go down on Saturday morning and give them bowls of cereal. I had other supplies, cereal bars, chips, some Vienna sausages, trash bags, Ziploc bags, things to keep their clothes and bags, from getting wet when it rains. And so I made it all the way to Memphis. And the last thing I had to buy was the milk. So I went in the grocery store and my debit card was not working. And I'd left my cash at home. So I'm thinking, well, surely I can get a grocery store in this area to donate 2 or 3 gallons of milk, given what I was going to do. And so 3 stores later, I had continually been told no. I was sitting in the parking lot just feeling so defeated. I was just sobbing. I felt like that I wanted to do this in my son's honor. And I felt like this was just something I needed to be doing. And so I really was sitting in the parking lot crying, thinking, what am I going to do now, God? I need some help here. And it was a minute, and the Prairie Farms dairy truck pulled in the parking lot. It absolutely took my breath. I felt so humbled, and I just couldn't believe that the milk truck was pulling in the parking lot at the very moment that I needed it. And I flagged him down, and I was a sobbing mess. I know the driver had to think, what is wrong with this crazy woman? But he smiled and he pulled his truck over and he said, give him just a minute. And he went in the back of his truck and he filled a whole milk crate up with individual milks and half gallons of milk. And I just absolutely knew that there was no other explanation other than God had intervened here.
So God essentially gave you a special delivery.
Absolutely a special delivery. What was even more amazing about it was the truck driver was not even there to deliver milk to that store. He was pulling in for something that he was getting personally for himself.
And just happened to have a truck full of milk.
Yes, exactly what I needed. What were the odds of, at that very moment that a truck would pull in? I mean, there's things like that that happen in life that I believe that there's no other explanation other than God's intervention and God blessing whatever it is that you have going on.
What did that do to your spirit, your happiness, when you realized, that had to be God?
I felt so humbled, kind of unworthy. You know, sometimes when God really shows out for us, we feel like, wow, am I even worthy of this? But I felt like that, it absolutely reiterated that God was blessing the situation, that I was following what He was leading me to do. And it made the whole day seem almost unbelievable. I was able to witness to all of the people that I was able to serve milk and cereal to. And you know, giving someone a bowl of cereal takes a little longer than just handing them a sack of food. So it allowed me to sit with them and spend a little time. I just opened the tailgate of my truck and sort of set up a milk and cereal station. And I went around to all the different areas that I knew that that were homeless areas, you know, that people stayed at. And I just asked them, were they hungry? And they absolutely were. And I was able to share the story about the milk, and all of them, you know, said that absolutely, that was God. That was such a blessing. You know, we're so glad that He blessed you. I had one gentleman tell me it had been over a year and a half since he had a bowl of cereal. And to me, cereal is something that I take for granted at home. It's sort of a staple. That's the one thing that everyone kind of turns to when there's nothing really cooked. And for it to be such a special treat for other people, was just really humbling. And I was very thankful that God intervened there and helped me to be able to provide that. And I think that that's something that I want to start doing, you know, like on a monthly basis. It was really special.
Did you find some homeless people who knew your son and what he had done for them?
I did, because that's where my son had lived for a year prior to him passing away. So I knew, you know, sort of the areas that they would hang out in, and I drove around all those different areas. I had a picture of my son that I put on the back of my truck, and several people knew him. They shared stories that my son was smart and funny, and shared everything that he had, even when it was very little. He was always very helpful to everyone. My son had a very loving spirit, very kind. He was a little goofy and loved to play and make people smile. So it was very touching to my heart. It's very much what I needed in my spirit. I miss my son every day. And to hear that he left, you know, good memories with people out there, and that he was just as kind, even in the situation that he was having to live in, as he was at home, really touched me.
And your son left another legacy, a little boy named Aiden. Can you tell us
Yes.
about Aiden?
Yes. Mitchell and Aiden actually have exactly the same birthday. So this year, although it was the first year that I had Mitchell's birthday without him, I was able to share it with Aiden, and that made it, you know, very special. And it also helped me through a really difficult day. Aiden and I actually rode on balloons, and we sent them up in the sky to his dad. And I took cupcakes to his class, which was just an absolutely joyous thing for him. Aiden, about a month before his father passed away, and asked me in my truck who Jesus was. And I thought, oh my goodness, what on earth am I doing here if my grandson doesn't know about this? And so we talked about it, and we started going to church on Sundays, and Aiden decided that he was going to learn about this on his own. So he has been watching YouTube Kids, all the Bible stories, and he absolutely can tell you, probably better than I could, a lot of the Bible stories out of there. He just turned 6 in January, and he also very much likes all the children's church songs. So we went on Good Friday, we took him fishing, and when my friend asked him, what he'd like for us to play on the radio or on the speaker, he said, "Well, Jesus Loves Me. Don't you have that on playlist?" And so when I shared with Aiden that I went down and fed the homeless where his dad had lived, I did not say anything about it being a miracle. I just was telling him the story, and he said, "Gigi, God performed a miracle for you. Just like when those guys were on the boat and it was storming, and God just stopped the storm. He performed a miracle and he saved them." He said, "That's what God did for you, Gigi. He performed a miracle and he brought that milk truck there." So for a child that age to be able to relate that to a story in the Bible that he had heard, I thought was just really amazing. He absolutely refreshes my soul every time that I spend time with him to see a
How old
child
is he?
six.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty mature for six.
I'm telling you, for a child that age to be that in tune with God and have that much of a desire, a child that age to desire to learn about God, and to the point that he even talks about it. He walks around telling everybody that we're Jesus followers.
Right. So, looking forward, you have been through a lot. You have seen God touch your life. You have seen God touch your grandson. What are you doing looking ahead? What are your plans?
Well, I think that we all feel like sometimes that we can't serve God or we can't do what we feel in our hearts we should be doing for God or that we're being led to do because we're not there. We're not perfect. We're not sin-free. But I believe that God takes us where we are and he helps to change us and he helps to change our lives and allow us, to help other people with his help. And so I think that I've got to get back to doing the things that I know that God wants me to do in my life and allow him to lead me. I think that I have a lot of experiences that can allow me to help other people. And all of these things have happened, I think, just to show me that God is tugging at my heart. And I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be willing. And I'm definitely willing.
I hear you. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your heart, your encouragement with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.